Hello and welcome. You're listening to Coming Back to Life, the podcast that opens you up to growth and healing that will help you live the life that you desire and deserve the most while loving yourself in the process. I'm your host, Debbie O'Keefe. It's such an honor and a privilege to be here with you today, and I want to thank you for sharing the gifts of your energy and your time with me for this experience. Hello and welcome everyone to this week's episode of Coming Back to Life. We have the most incredible guest with us here today, who I've been so blessed to meet and I have quickly discovered is a soul sister of mine, and we are walking hand in hand, side by side in this journey. Wives, mothers, if there is one episode you don't want to miss, it is this one. And we are going to be talking in terms of her experiences, mirroring very much my story and experiences, and how it is that she literally came back into her life. Her name is Starlynn Hanneman. She is a wellness coach living in Fort Collins, Colorado, with two beautiful daughters and her husband. And we are going to walk along her in her journey of overcoming anxiety, overwhelm, burnout, addiction, and some of the many experiences that many women have really come into a place of experiencing. And as we move into this new year and season of healing, it is a great opportunity for us to connect with our minds and our hearts and our spirits in those areas. And she has some incredible insights to share with us. So Starlynn, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me.
So I am off the charts excited, as Starlynn very quickly realized, that reading and speaking with her and getting to know a bit about her, we discussed a bit that while it is both refreshing and exciting when you meet someone and you go, wow, I'm not alone in this. And when I say identical in experiences, I cannot begin to describe to you, I mean, literally down to the two daughters, wife, mother, and everything that we've had. It's also heartbreaking to realize that we are just two of many that are really walking in these experiences. And Starlynn, if you don't mind, if you could share a bit with us about the beginning and what it was that you experienced as a wife and a mother and some of those key pain points that contributed to what it was that you were experiencing that took you out of life.
Yeah. So, early motherhood is rough. You've got, kids that are screaming and crying and not sleeping, and you're looking around at all of the other parents that are dealing with the same thing, but they're able to somehow, it seems, balance life in a way that doesn't feel possible, but it seems like everyone's doing it. So I, tried to fit into this mold of trying to do all the things and be all the things. And the kids started getting older, and we ended up moving when my girls were about 3 and 5 to Missouri. And while Missouri was beautiful, it was not the place for me. And I quickly dove into a deep depression of being without my friends, my family, my people, my culture, like knowing things. I got really depressed. And I started drinking more and more. I've been a drinker since high school. But I really started leaning into it more and more as a way to cope and get through the sadness and the aloneness. I felt so desperately alone there. I met some wonderful people, but it just wasn't home. And we wound up moving back to Colorado. And I continued to use that crutch. But it was just feeling like I was not able to handle kids. Like I must be a bad mom because I cannot handle, you know, my kids' questions and their needs and running around like a crazy person to do all the things. And I just felt completely overwhelmed and out of my element, to the point of where I suddenly was having panic attacks and anxiety and things that I don't know when the anxiety happened. I don't know if it was self-imposed anxiety from thinking I needed to be all these things and being unable to. I almost feel like I created my own anxiety by trying to be more than I could be, wanting to be more than I could be, being someone I wasn't. Felt like I maybe created my own disaster.
So, I mean, Starlin, what it is that you're saying here, I mean, I'm sure in your experiences with talking with people that you can say, and again, we say this reluctantly and with a very heavy heart, that as much as our experiences are unique to us in the ways that they impact us, it's very unfortunate that this particular, and I don't even like to use the word story, is not unique to us. And one of the things that you're speaking to, and I'd like to go a little further on here, is something that so many of us in those experiences, because I share that in terms of you know, the reaching for that numbness and alcohol being, I mean, let's face it, it's the easiest one at our disposal. It's in our minds, one of the least, you know, harmful ones because we can control it and we can, you know, I'll just get a little, you know, just a little bit. So it just feels that way. And but before you know it, you're tipping the scales and it's going to the extreme. But how much of it too, that, because it took a long time in my journey and experience to realize that all the parts were playing into it. And yes, it's the overstimulation and what it was that the alcohol would do to desensitize. It's literally, you know, an anesthetic, which felt great until it didn't. But this idea that you spoke about of, you know, I was just trying to fit in and trying to be all those things. And what Starlin and I learned about each other, which is also incredibly fascinating, is that what we both lacked at that time was the awareness that there are different types of people and different needs and different abilities and introverted people and highly sensitive people and people who crave stimulation where people who don't and people who like certain things and people who don't. We had it in our minds, as many moms do, that we're all supposed to be the same. We're all supposed to handle the same stuff. And you look at everybody going, well, they can handle it and she can handle it. And everybody else has it all together except me. And this genuine sense of feeling inherently flawed and defective, and that there's something wrong with you. And one of the things that's so common is that when you fall into this place of depression and anxiety, is you do feel alone, because even those who love you, who care very deeply, and we know that it comes from the best of intentions, because they don't like to see you suffer either. It's very common to be, you know, why are you depressed? You've got everything. You got two beautiful kids. You got a beautiful home. You got this. You got so much to be had. Just go find something to do. You got to get out of the house more. Let somebody babysit, right? It's these simple Band-Aid cures. And you know, I'd like to know about your experiences with what it was that, you know, the things that you've tried.
Yeah, you know, I feel like in my, like, there wasn't a lot of people that were truly like trying to push me too far out. I think it was myself. I'm very independent and very, a perfectionist. So I have ideas of how I'm supposed to be. So more so than other people imposing on me, it was me, you know, as a now self-realized introvert, I have just in the past year or so realized that I was an introvert. And in high school, I wanted to fit in and I wanted to be a part of the group. And all these people were having the time of their life. And I was like, oh, when I drink, I can do that.
Right.
It was my liquid courage, literally, to just exist in a different world. And I only am now realizing that I was drinking so that I could feel like I was someone else and be what I was supposed to be. But as far as people, like, you know, there's people go out on a date, go do these things. Honestly, I get overwhelmed with trying to plan a date night. Where do I eat? What am I going to have to do? Like, so I honestly just want to curl up in my corner of my house, maybe with no one home. I like going out and trying to find the restaurant. Like, it's like, oh, there's too many restaurants, or there's going to be people, or there's going to be lines, reservations. It's overwhelming to me. I don't want that. And so people have, you know, I've been through the, you have so much to be grateful for. You have a job, you have your kids, your family, your health, all these things. It's like, why am I not happy with that? But it's because I wasn't living who I was. I wasn't like listening to myself of what I needed. So I was constantly reaching for all these things that I thought I should want. I should want to have these things, but I didn't really want that. That's not what I wanted. I didn't want to go and do these things. I don't want to go to Disneyland because there are too many people and there are too many lines. And I should want to take my kids to Disneyland, but I don't. I don't want to go.
Oh, Starlin, I have to pause right here, because there are women who are listening to this right now who are going to rewind that section and replay it in their sleep, print the transcript, and probably wallpaper their houses with it, because this is so important and so significant. And the words coming out that you were just saying right now, that we're speaking straight through, I mean, those who are experiencing thyroid issues, adrenal fatigue, and that was going straight through my throat chakra, down to the solar plexus, down to the root, like a lightning bolt. And this pivotal message that you just sent out was that the issue was not anything specifically that you were doing wrong, despite the fact that that's in every part of your being, that's what you believed, that I'm screwing this up. I never probably should have even had kids. These poor kids, how did they get stuck with me? I am the worst person, least likely candidate for mom of the year. Look at all these people with their pictures of Disney World. Look at everything people are doing. Look, they go out every weekend. They take their kids. They go somewhere every day. And all, you should come with us. You should come with us. Play dates. Okay. If you people could see the reactions that are coming off of Starlin, the anxiety that is just all the women that are like, I swear, I can't do that. But the echoing reinforcements that are all around us, that if you're not doing this, then you're not keeping up with the Joneses, and your kids are missing out, and you're causing them pain and suffering, and they're losing, and it's all because of you. This speaks to the heart of every wife and mother who has felt in any way that you're failing your children because of things that are outside your literal biochemistry and makeup. Speaking to the myths that I have been working towards dispelling, that introversion and highly sensitive people, there is so much out there by way of research and data that proves this is not a choice. This isn't an excuse. It's not an easy way out. There is brain wiring, biochemistry, and everything that speaks to, this is like trying to tell a diabetic, oh no, you can eat a whole cheesecake. Don't tell me you can't, because you can. Look at me, I'm doing it. Watch me. This is not, you cannot force that level of stimuli into a nervous system that is not equipped to handle it. It is sensory overload, and it is a circuit breaker that will trip. And it is in that tripping and the overloading of those circuits that leads us to that place of disconnect that goes, that's it, system overload, shut down. And leads us to that place of, well, now that I'm shut down, how do I cope? And that's where we reach. So to every single woman who is feeling that, what is wrong with me? Because I don't like that stuff. That's not fun for me. I want to cuddle up under a blanket with my kids and watch a Disney movie. And that's the best way I know how to love, but that's not good enough. Starlin is here and echoing that voice to tell every woman and every mother, it is good enough. And it is perfect. And that, what we have come to realize, and it took so long until after the healing journey, is to realize what our kids want and what it is that they need is the best of us showing up the ways we know how. And if we're making the choice to do all those things to take us out of life and take us away from them, but we're just going through the motions, that's where the lying and the hurting comes into our kids. This is a life-changing and a life-saving moment. And Starlin, I want to express my unconditional gratitude to you and for you for being here and opening your heart to every woman who needs that permission to say, what I'm comfortable with and what feels good and the ways I know how to love are not only okay, but they're good enough. And I believe that what you're speaking to is what was missing for you so much at that point of experience was that certainty, was that knowledge, and was that permission.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I feel like I thought I had to love in a certain way. And if I wasn't doing that, it was wrong. And now that I know by being myself and showing my kids who I am, I'm giving them permission to love themselves and show the world who they are. Whereas before, by being someone that I was not and was struggling to be, they were getting a shell of a mom and learning that they were not good enough being themselves. And I absolutely do not want to bring two more little girls growing into women into this world that think that they are not enough.
Hey everybody, Debbie O'Keefe here, and I hope you've been enjoying the episode so far. I'm here to share with you two new, incredibly exciting opportunities to work, learn, and grow alongside me, and to take the next step in your journey and to go even deeper. You can learn more on my website, deborahokeefe.com. The first is the Coming Back to Life membership, where every week you will receive a unique intuitive download based on experiences in my own life and in the workings of others that reveal the guidance, the messages, and the insights that will take you along the way to make the changes and take action in your life to live as your best self. The second opportunity is the Rising Together Women's Community. This is a unique sisterhood, a tribe of belonging, where we all come together to create the support, the sense of belonging, and the endless uplifting inspiration that you need to maintain committed and to stay on track to make the changes and take action to live the life that you are meant for as everything you were created to be. Each of these opportunities are being made available on a sliding scale where you can pay at the level that is comfortable and right and best for you. No matter which level of contribution you choose, you will receive the same benefits. Because I never want anything to stand in the way of your desire to help yourself and live your best life. If you'd like to learn more, you can check me out at DeborahO'Keefe.com or message me at info@DeborahO'Keefe.com. I look forward to being with you real soon and taking the next step in our journey together. Okay, so we are back, and taking this moment to allow everything that really set in of what Starlin was saying, we had this opportunity to pause and really, I have to say, the energy around what it was that was experienced was literally, as this was put out, you know, this permission for every woman to know you are enough as you are and you are okay, and every part of it was this just sigh and cry of everything that every heart that's crying out for that to hear was needed. And Starlin, as we come back, there was so much that you hit upon with this core concept, this core idea of this awareness of knowing that there was something different and what it was that you need. So we're going to take the rest of this episode to hit on two points. And one being, I want you to please share with us that turning point and that pivotal, that low that you have, you've shared, and what it was where you knew most importantly, this is up to me.
Yeah. So we had recently moved back to Colorado, and I was drinking for, you know, pleasure and for fun and for making the pain go away and for all the reasons. But I was also noticing an increase in anxiety, and it was getting to the point of where it was not really manageable. I was anxious all the time. I didn't want to go to the grocery store. I didn't want to leave the house. Everything was, you know, it just felt too much to make a grocery list. And I knew that that seemed a bit ridiculous. So I kept trying to push through it. And at one point I ended up at the doctor's office and I said, I need something to help me with anxiety. And, you know, she mentioned to, you know, start taking it back on the drinking, try drinking less, try, you know, meditation, try these things. And I was like, yeah, okay, but that's how I survive. So how about you give me a pill? And I knew, as someone who worked out and ate healthy and did all these things, I was doing all of those things almost for the wrong reason. It was like to almost counterbalance the fact that I was drinking. So it's like, okay, if I can eat healthy and exercise and do everything else, then that will make up for the fact that I'm drinking and that I'm still an okay person. So I wasn't much for taking pills, but I thought, this is going to fix it. Great. Well, it turns out that mixing anxiety medicine with alcohol makes you black out, which is not ideal. So I had a couple nights where it was not very much alcohol consumed, and then I was literally just incapacitated.
Right.
Which is not ideal. And then I went for a job interview, and I was driving to the job interview, and this is rather embarrassing, but I was driving to the interview, I felt a little gassy, and I kid you not, I thought I was going to fart, and I sharted my pants.
And there's my crowning moment.
And that was like, that moment was horrifying, but I am a go-getter. So I tell you what, I pulled over, cleaned myself up, threw those underwear in the trash, and went to that job interview commando style.
Wow.
I got the job.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I also went home and thought, this is it.
Wow.
Am I going to take drugs that make me black out and shit my pants? Or am I going to do something to actually fix this problem?
Right.
And it took a little bit of time because I was like, well, maybe that was just a one-off. No, it happened again. It
Right.
happened again. And that moment, I cried a lot on the floor, realizing that this was going to be my life if I could not make a change. And I, being a mom of two girls, did not want my daughters to have a shell of a mom. I did not want them to have me barely holding it together. Because let me tell you, if you're drinking to survive, and on top of it, you're drinking to survive shitting your pants, life is not good.
Yee.
Is not good. You are, life is really bad at that
That would be
point.
your red flag.
It's a big red flag. And at that moment, I was like, I cannot do this. There has got to be a better way. And, you know, a lot of people struggle with quitting drinking and they have to go to meetings or that sort of stuff. It was not hard for me
Right.
to quit drinking because it was that moment of like, I have to make a decision and how do I want to show up for my life? How do I want to be here? And I did not know I was going to quit drinking forever. I knew I was going to quit drinking for that day and the next day. And I was like, wow, I feel better. And my anxiety is going away. And I
Wow.
am showing up for my family. And I tell you, feeling feelings is the worst when you have not felt feelings in years. To truly feel the highs and the lows is really hard. And that was probably the hardest part, to not be able to knock the edges off of those things. But to really start, after a few months, you start feeling those feelings, and it's like, oh, I can survive this. I can survive being sad. I can survive being, you know, a little bit uncomfortable. It's just being uncomfortable. Figure out what your coping mechanisms are, figure out how to take care of yourself. And everyone's different. Those coping mechanisms are different for every single person. I don't want to go get my nails done as a coping mechanism. Some people want to go get pampered. I do not. That is a nightmare for me. I want to go for a hike. That is my coping mechanism. If I am feeling anxious and like I just cannot handle, I got to get outside and I have to move my body. And that gets me out of those thoughts and out of that thought pattern.
I mean, Starlin, this is, it's just so powerful. And when you said, I didn't know in that moment I was going to stop drinking forever, but what I did know was I was going to stop that day. And that is so powerful. It's like, look, I don't know what promises I can make to myself moving on, because I know in your experience, similar to mine, how many broken pro and that's a big part of it too. How many times have I made promises to myself and we let ourselves down? Because we break them time and time again, right? It's that time, like, you know, well, okay, I drank that many glasses of wine and that made me sick. So next time I'll only have this many, right? And it's like, oh, I'll do that. I'm gonna make it better. I'm gonna do better next time. And it's like, look, I don't know what I'm gonna do a year from now, but I do know what I'm gonna decide to do right now. And in that moment, that was what you were ready for. That's what you could commit to and honor. And that was enough for you in that moment to just give yourself a chance. And something so powerful that, you know, many people, you know, they struggle with quitting. And this is any kind of addiction. This is smoking. This is shopping. This is internet addiction. This is, you know, sex addiction. It's any kind of addiction. And speaking so much of the signs that we're pointing up to, you know, Starlin was talking about how she had listened to my story and experience and finding these connection points. I had so much around my life, and one of the things that we share, that if there's any other, you know, woman, is this perfectionism. and the addiction to the approval seeking and the evidence and the accolades. And, you know, Starlin and I were laughing, you know, that we were so much the same people that it's like, okay, before it was drinking, it was great. And we're not talking like I had to do good. I had to do great. I had to do perfect. And it was like, I needed straight A's, but even straight A's wasn't good enough because if we saw it was a 96 or a 98 or a 99, dear God, 99 was worse than anything, right? It was like, but you got an A. I don't care. It wasn't a perfect A. And then it was at work. And then it was in our marriages. And then it's our bodies. And then it's this. And it doesn't stop. And I think the biggest thing for every mother who reaches this point, where you reach to that point of self-destructive addiction, is there is no greater pain that a woman can feel. Someone who needs at that point in their life constant recognition and validation from outside of themselves, then the message, you have not only failed as a human being, as a person in this society, in this world, you don't fit in, you're not cutting it, nothing you do is good enough, but now you've failed your children. And that is the tipping point for so many. And Starlin speaking to this, because the biggest thing that we can say in terms of any journey of overcoming, whatever it is, whether it's an addiction, whether it is depression or anxiety, or that's struggling just in relationships. I don't know how to connect with my kid. I can't get through with them. And no matter what I do, it doesn't work with them or your husband. It really comes down to that seeking for everyone outside of you to change, and holding everyone and everything outside of you responsible for what really only you can give yourself. And I'd love for you to speak to this point, because there's so much out there. Let's face it, right? You got to love yourself before you can love everybody else, and self-love and self-care and blah, 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 blah. You are enough. Yay. You're a warrior. And let's buy a t-shirt and put another bumper sticker on our car. and we think that's it. But what it is that you have to say about your message about real self-awareness, really knowing yourself. And we talked in, you know, episode number 6 about that self-awareness, self-acceptance, you know, and all these points to where the healing really comes from.
Yeah, it is self, you know, like you said, you know, the self-care, the self-love. But like you said your previous episode, episode 6, I think it was, of self-esteem, self-confidence, like it was all about self. And that it is all about yourself and listening to yourself and hearing what it is you need. It is everything is within us. We have to stop looking for all of the answers. And if I take this course, or if I start doing this workout or eat this diet or do all the things that have worked for everyone else, you can by all means go out and get information and try to find the things that fill you up. And sometimes you don't even know where to start, right? That's the most confusing part, I think, right, about this like healing journey is, but where do I start? And so you are taking in all this information. And for some people, you get totally overloaded because you're like trying to listen to all them. But if you get really still and really quiet and allow yourself time to be quiet, stop scrolling, stop listening to podcasts, go for a walk, shut everything out and listen to yourself. you will know what it is. Because I wasn't doing that. I wasn't listening to what I needed. I was listening to what I thought I needed.
Hi, my name is Debbie and Sterling, and I'm a self-improvement addict.
Yes, 100%. And I love improving. I love these things, but I'm I need to listen to what I need. I need to stop listening to what I think everyone thinks I need.
Right. Is this to say that all the stuff that's out there is crap, or that if the information's wrong or bad?
Absolutely not. There is good information out there, but you have to take it in context. Does it fit into your life? Does it fit into who you are as a person?
Right.
You know, like some people thrive in going and doing and getting out and all these things, and other people thrive in, some people don't want to go on hikes. This amazes me. Some people don't want to be in nature. And I'm like,
What is wrong with you?
What is wrong with you? I'm like, just go out in nature and it will fix your life. I'm telling you. But I'm like, wait, some people don't want that. They want to go to a busy city. And like New York City seems like a nightmare to me. I've been there once and I'm like,
yes.
Too much. It's too overwhelming. But if I stop and listen to what I need instead of looking at Instagram and seeing all the things that people are doing and then comparing my life to theirs, shut all that out. And you're trying to make changes in your life. Start listening to yourself and don't look to everyone else for the answers. That's what your problem is that you're looking to everyone else to answer your problems, and they're not out there.
No.
Those answers are not out there. They are all within us. We've got so much noise around us, and we have gotten so accustomed to not slowing down and listening to like what is in us and what our minds, our hearts, our souls, what they need. And if you just slow down for 2 seconds, you can start to hear that voice.
Sterling, it's so powerful what it is that you are saying. And this idea of, you know, I speak so much in, you know, the Coming Back to Life membership and the Rising Together community, which I've put together and starting this month, in terms of a tribe for women coming together in this place of experience where everyone has a place where we can do that. It is the going in and the having that space to come to a realization about yourself and knowing, because I think the biggest challenge for all of us so much, and I know for me, this was a statement that always took me back. I would take 10 steps forward and I'd make 100 back. And I reached a point in my journey, and if, you know, I'm sure you resonate with what I'm about to say, and I'd love for you to speak on this, is that everybody, there's stages in healing. And, you know, that very beginning part is where you have no clue. You don't know, right? It's like everything's just batshit crazy and upside down and sideways. And I don't even know what's going on. And this life is just unmanageable. And I'm just a hot mess. Clearly, it's me. I am so broken, you know, so this is where I joke, but don't, you know, this is where we go and we reach and we dig. And, you know, this is where we do the therapy and we take the medication. We try the diets. We do the exercise fads. We read the books. We take the trainings. We get the certifications and we do the CBT, the NLP, the, you know, HIJK, LMNOP, you name it, Ben, they're done that, which is just another addiction. And what that does is it further reinforces the, I'm still not fixed. I'm still broken. Well, that didn't work for me. And that worked for all these people. So there's got to be something really wrong with me. And it reinforces that brokenness. And in many ways, can make it worse. Now, again, reinforcing. And I think this is a very important part to stick in that disclaimer that's so necessary in episodes like this. What Starlin and I are not suggesting in any way is that there is anything wrong with conventional medicine, therapies, any type of self-improvement. We are not suggesting that you stop any kind of treatment. you know, pursuing any kind of treatment, by all means, we still have our supports. There is a need for doctors and medicine, and we don't stand on any side in terms of things with antidepressants. These are all important, and it is very crucial that anyone who is experiencing anything in terms of physical or mental illness who needs additional support seek and or continue help with licensed professionals and specialists. We cannot stress that enough, because those were, I know for you, Starlin, they were essential and still are in life-saving measures. But then reaching that part of that journey where when you do finally get that awareness and you say, okay, well, I do understand. And this is mine to fix. And I'm willing and I'm ready. And you start to get that taste. So we talk about people who relapse. And this is so strong, because I really want to reach out to the hearts and really hold space of some genuine empathy and compassion for anyone out there who has started and stopped, who's tried and fallen off more times than they can count. It's okay. It's okay. And every day that you say, I'm going to do this again today, matters. And what matters is that you do try again. Because that could be that time, one more time, could be that last one that you need for it to be the one that sticks. And what happens for so many of us is we allow those outside voices to pull us back. That when you find that place, and I know this was true for me, I go, okay, wow. All right, I'm an introvert and I'm highly sensitive and my mind is wired this way, my nervous system, so I'm not crazy. When I feel like I'm literally, the way I described, so for those who don't understand highly sensitive people and introversion and overstimulation, the way like New York City feels for us or large social gatherings, it's literally like walking over to an electric socket, shoving your finger in it and being told you're not allowed to take it out because this is fun. It's not. And it is actually physically and emotionally painful. It's symptomatic. And this is not something that if you are forced into and you're being told, well, if you want to fit in this world and this life, then you have to experience that pain over and over and over again. And that's the only way we're going to accept you. So when you get those outside voices that tell you, oh, introversion is bullshit. Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I heard that. Oh, are you on the, you're on the bandwagon? Yeah. We need to talk to you about your spiritual woo-woo nonsense, because I think you're going a little bit off the deep end here now. And, oh, okay. Yeah. She's into that stuff. And the people and the outside sources who really try to take you out and at some point make you start to question yourself and doubt yourself. And you go, okay, well, all right, maybe I could try to be a little bit more social. And then we go right back, right? So speaking a bit about what it is that you can say in terms of your experiences and what it is that you would say to those that go, okay, Starlin, Debbie, I hear you. But this is not the world we live in. And I get all the things about me. I love to stay quiet and want to be inside. And I like nature. And I would rather an hour of silence over an hour of, you know, a nightclub or a party any day. And my idea of a great date night is snuggled up under a blanket. Or time with my kids, watching a Disney movie with some popcorn, and that's good enough for me. And I don't like that type of job, and I know what feels good for me, but that's not the way this world works. And how, I'm afraid of what it means for me to make that choice. I don't have any choice.
I would argue that because I felt that I, you know, this is how the world is, and that I, or that I had made all these choices to get where I am, and who am I to go back on these decisions that I've made? Or, you know, you start to doubt things. You have a choice. It's how much do you want to stay the same, and how much do you want to live in a different way? So it's to really step back and take stock of where you're at. And if I keep on this trajectory, where will I be in 20 years? Will I be happy with where I'm at, how I have existed? Have you only existed? Have you lived? Have you lived a life that was true to you? And at the end of the day, all those people that are questioning you, they do not have to walk in your shoes. They are there by your side, maybe. They might be, you know, someone that you don't even talk to, but why do you care? And I'm not saying cut ties. I'm not saying you have to be an asshole. But to really take a look at it and be like, what does their opinion truly matter? And it's hard when you're a perfectionist and a people pleaser to do that. It is hard. But when you stop looking at the immediate time frame, and how it's going to feel to say, let those people down, or how their opinion of you is going to matter. Zoom out and be like, okay, when I'm 80 years old, am I going to be happy with this decision I'm making right now? Is this decision going to affect me? Is it going to affect them? Will they even remember this moment? Or is this moment only affecting me? Because some people say things because that's what people do, is they say things and they don't realize how it is being taken. I've had lots of people say things to me that I still hold on to, and they probably have zero memory of saying those things. Mm-hmm. They have no recollection of it. But it's changed how I've lived my life, and maybe not for the better. And I took it in, and now I am really, for anyone out there who is afraid to make a change, or it's too hard. Change is hard, people. That is... Change is not easy. Otherwise, everyone would just change their lives. Change is hard. You just have to put it in the balance. Do I want this or do I want this? And for anyone that has relapsed or tried something a million times, or like, I keep trying and it keeps not working, I always think about like, okay, if I was on a road trip, like on a journey, and I got a flat tire, does that mean I get back in my car and go back to where I started? Or does that mean I just sit on the side of the road in my car with a broken, you know, with my flat tire? Or do you get your tire fixed and keep moving forward? Keep going. You keep going. It doesn't, you're going to get bucked off. The thing is every time that you do that, you learn something. And every time you learn something, you get a little bit stronger and you go, oh, that didn't work. Oh, that didn't work. Just keep going. Because eventually you will be able to pile up all those mistakes, stand on the top of them and be like, I did it. Take every one of those things that you think is a mistake as a win. Be like, okay, I learned something new. And start, for the love of God, giving yourself grace. Stop beating yourself up. Learn to give yourself some grace. That is like probably one of the biggest things I tell clients is stop beating yourself up. Stop with like telling yourself that, oh, well, I screwed up again. Oh, I'm no good at this. I failed. Stop telling yourself you failed. Give yourself some grace and learn to tell the difference between grace and excuses. Mm-hmm. Because there is a difference. Mm-hmm. There is a difference.
So, Starlin, there's three key points that you like hit here, and I'm praying to God that I remember them all. So that idea that there's that choice, and change is hard. And that choice is between what I have come to discover is familiar suffering or familiar pain versus unfamiliar pain. So it's like, I have the choice to keep my finger in this socket, hold my hand in that fire, and never pull it out. But hey, I know it's always going to hurt. I know what it's going to feel like. It sucks and it's painful, but I'm used to it, right? Mm-hmm. And that just feels easier. That's safer. Versus this change where I know that's going to suck, but I don't know what it's going to be like. And that's unfamiliar and that's scary and I don't want to go there. And that choice and the alternative between, you know, like, yeah, that change pain maybe painful as hell. And Starlin and I are two people who can tell you it is. You walk through fire and back through it again. And then they come in with some super glue adhesive and the universe puts you back together. And then you burn again, time and time again. But every time you come out, the joy and the pleasure and the happiness that you stand to gain from those experiences, that's there on the other side of change. Staying on that familiar side of suffering, the only guarantee you will ever have is that same pain and suffering. There is no chance of anything else on that side. And that is so important. The other point that you spoke to in terms of, you know, giving, when people are saying things, is this idea that, you know, we make this assumption that it's like, well, they're saying these things and that, you know, this is true about me. When in actuality, when you're a perfectionist and you're a people pleaser, you're doing everything to make everybody happy and make everything work for them. The minute you make that change to do what's okay for you, you're not working for them anymore. You're not meeting their needs. You're not flexible. You're not easy. You're not a yes person. You know, you don't agree with everything they say and blow smoke up their butts anymore and pacify them and take every phone call and do everything you need to do. And that pisses people off. But the realization and that understanding and really sorting out, you know, when you said open that lens, open that focus, zoom out, this is where you really come to awareness of who are those people and what are those relationships in my life where people are with me no matter what, and for who I am versus who wants me and who likes me because of what I do for them or do with them. And the last point that you were speaking to in terms of this, you know, giving yourself grace and, you know, cutting yourself slack and, you know, I'd love for you to, we're going to close out a little bit with this, is for all those who are listening, because one of the things that is my primary passion and my mission with every piece of work that I do, most especially the voice of this podcast, is to redefine. And I've referred to this year of 2023 as the season of unlearning and redefining everything it is that holds meaning around everything it is that we've heard so many times. Oh, cut yourself some slack. Oh, go easy on yourself. Oh, be gentle. I always had, be gentle with yourself. I cannot describe to you what that used to do to me. Because I'd be like, oh, that's all I'm missing? I just have to be like, be gentle. But if it was that freaking easy, don't you think I'd do it? I didn't know how. And what I realize now is it's this operating system of this all or nothing mindset. That it's either all perfect and I've done it all right, or it's all gone to shit. And how much that theme of either everything's going great or it's all going horrible. Either everything is going to work out because it is working out, or it's all going to fall apart and that catastrophic one or the other kind of mindset. And also the understanding that healing needs to take place that way. I need to make the decision that I'm going to be better. And then tomorrow I'm going to wake up perfect. I love that giggle. And to that, Starlin, you would have to say,
stop trying to do everything all at once. You're not going to change your life in one night, one day, one decision. I feel like, especially as a perfectionist, but, you know, as moms, we're trying to do everything and juggle 700 balls at the same time. And it's like, how am I going to put in more time for doing all these things to better my life? Just take the small wins, man. Just do one little tiny thing, accept it, own it, and be like, I did that. Mm-hmm. And feel it. And don't put these massive expectations, because with expectations, when a kid gets sick, we suddenly like, oh, now I can't do that thing. And now I'm a failure. And then we just start spiraling. So do just the smallest little things that make you feel a little bit better and a little bit better. and fit them in where you can and let life knock you down a little bit. And then pretty soon you'll kind of be like those, you know, those punching clowns or whatever, where you
you
come
just get back up. Boing.
You start to come back a little bit easier rather than just getting knocked flat on your ass. You start to come back, but you have to get those little bits of wins in there and accept that it's a win and accept it.
Wait. I'm so sorry. Can you say that one more time?
Accepting the wins?
Oh, but what kind of win?
A little win? I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Little win.
Wait, did you just say that a little win is still a win?
Still a win. You still made a step. It's still a step in the right direction. It doesn't matter if it's a leap or a tiny little baby step. You are moving forward.
So you're talking about that for every mom that made the choice to take a breath and count to three or take 5 minutes in the bathroom instead of reacting and screaming at their kid, but forgot picture day order form and has no idea what she's making for dinner and is rocking the mom bun and her house is in shambles, that she won that day?
Absolutely. Every time that you don't scream and react to your children in that way, that is a win. That was my biggest win. That's one of the biggest things I've learned is when I take time to love myself and get those little wins, I don't scream at my kids. It's insane.
Right? Okay, so let's talk about those moms that go, okay, that's great, Starlin. That's great, Debbie. But I am a screamer. And that's my biggest thing. I hate myself so much. And I say I'm going to go take those breaths. But God, there's just those times. What do you do when you just lose it, right? Because we do. And you lost it. And you screwed up. And you lost your shit and your kids in tears. And you hate yourself because you just said the most horrible thing that you swore. It was those words you swore you'd never say. But you did something different that day. You cooled off.
You go hug your kid and you tell them that you are sorry and you tell them that mommy reacted in a way that you just talk to them because you know what? They're people too. And they're going to make mistakes and they need to see that you're going to make mistakes, but that you're owning it and you're trying to do better.
And that's a win.
And that's a win. So you screamed at them, but then you said you were sorry. Don't just scream and say you're sorry. Learn from it. I had to do that for so long because I didn't know how to exist without the numbing drinking. I screamed so much because I didn't know what else to do.
Yeah.
Now that's like a thing in the past. I'm like, holy crap, who am I?
Who am I?
Who am I? I'm not a screamer anymore. I don't even know. Like one day I was just like, oh, holy shit. I don't scream at my kids anymore. This is so weird.
Yeah. And is this to say that you become this superhuman creation that will never lose her shit and scream? No. But you know now in those moments to accept your humanness. And that what isn't there for you anymore is this idea that if you are not flawless, then you're not okay. That you are unacceptable. You are unlovable and undeserving of any kind of anything, love, forgiveness, permission, anything in this world, because that is the truth. And there is no amount of compliments, accolades, you know, likes, posts, anything that's going to give you that. It's just not.
And you know, when you're in those moments where you do scream at your kids, but you stop and you acknowledge that you messed up and you tell your kids that you're sorry and that you are trying, in that moment, they learn that you are a human and that you make mistakes, but they also learn that mistakes are okay and that you don't have to be perfect. So they are learning two things in that moment, because sometimes our kids, I think, forget that we are people too.
Yeah.
But when we are open and honest with them and say, I am having a bad day, or I am having a hard day, or I'm sorry if I'm... Use your words. We want our kids to use their words all the time. Tell me what's going on. Why are you doing this?
How about we practice what we preach a little bit?
Yeah. Tell
Yeah.
your kids, I woke up and I am just off and I am really sorry if I snap at you today. And in that moment, you are so full of realization that the chances that you're going to snap go way down because you're not trying to hold it all in and be this thing that you can't be that day.
You know, and Starlin, I, you know, we talked at the beginning here about having you back, and I really would love to, because we're going into a whole new topic here in terms of parenting. And while we, you know, we don't come out to claim to be parenting experts, I feel that there's so much more that needs to be out there rather than just this idea of read another parenting book, take another parenting class. Because I mean, that was something. That's a whole other ball game of I'm not doing this right. And I'd love to speak on that. But the biggest thing is mirroring this example to our kids that you're going to make mistakes. Mistakes are okay. No one is perfect. You know, and most importantly of what I believe what our kids need more than anything is to also know that my actions and reactions are not a reflection of you, that you didn't do this. This isn't your fault. And I'm gonna put a pin in that, but we're gonna come back if you would be so willing to do a whole other episode on this in terms of parenting, because I'm getting a call for this need very clearly. And I have no doubt that that's gonna be incredible. But Starlin, I think I speak for everyone who is listening to say that what we have been given in terms of gifts and experience of your time and your presence and your honesty and vulnerability to share in your journey has been invaluable and absolutely priceless and precious. And I am, for now and always, completely incredibly grateful for the imprint that you've left on my heart and my life. Starlin and I will now be friends on Facebook, and we are soul sisters for life. That's it. It's happened. but this is proof of how you just don't know where these opportunities for healing, connection, collaboration, companionship, empathy, sympathy, where we can find the purpose in our pain and where these healing opportunities can come from. And I invite all women who are feeling strongly compelled by this episode to join in the Rising Together community, which is this tribe that I have brought together of women such as Starlin, myself, and other women that are looking for that environment where we can find that place of stillness and quiet to go within, learn what it is that we need to learn about ourselves. These are those opportunities and that safe space where we do learn. We hear our voices and we find that connection and that support to have that unconditional permission within ourselves to listen to what we are, to follow our own paths and directions, and to always find that place of belonging and acceptance where we show up as we are and we are celebrated. And more so than that is opportunities such as this, where we find that connection in our experiences, where we are not alone. We need that. Introvert or extrovert, you are now hearing from two introverts, and I can tell you every single person I have in the group to date is an introvert. I will be doing a podcast episode with a near and dear person to me who led a women's group for introverts. There is so much out there, but introvert doesn't mean we need to live alone. The truth of the fact that we are wired for connection is very true. How that connection takes place is what is very unique and different to us. So if you feel called and you are looking for that place in that community, I invite you, please reach out with any questions that you have through this podcast. I'm happy to bring Starlin back on to do any questions and answers that you would like to have. We'll do some future episodes on parenting, but please check out the link in the episode description Rising Together on www.deborahokeefe.com. And you can also find Sterling's information in the episode links and descriptions as well. So, Starlin, I want to thank you with all my heart for taking time in your space and your life. I also want to extend my thanks and gratitude to your family for everything it is that they have done to be a part of your journey and your experiences, for loving you, for standing by you, for giving you the gifts that you have, and for creating the opportunity for you to be shared as a gift with us here today. And incredible gratitude for the blessings that you have in your life and the gift and the blessing that you are, and for choosing to come here and share it. Most importantly, thank you for the choices that you've made in your life that have kept you here to be a part of this experience, to share your story and your voice, and for hearing the call and making the choice to do that. We are so grateful for you. Thank you.
Thank you for having me on.
Absolute pleasure. And we look forward to being back with everyone for our next episode and our next guest. And until then, I wish you endless blessings, all the happiness and prosperity in every area of your life. Give yourself grace, permission, follow your heart. It is all good. And I wish you endless light, love, and greatest blessings. Until next time, take care. Bye-bye.